And welcome to this wonderful episode of Gaming Disassembled. We are your hosts, Knight of Oa and Jada, as always. How are you doing?
I am super duper. Did that sound sincere?
No, not at all, actually.
I really am, pretty great, but, you know, it's, how you doing? And I'm like, I have an inventory today, but I'm guessing I'm doing pretty good. I'm chilling on a couch, drinking tea, scrolling through the internet. Really, what else do you want out of life? About to talk about video games. Video games?
What? I totally thought you were going to say drinking some liquor. I thought you were going to say something cooler than tea.
No, I'm pretty happy with the tea right now. I've been experimenting a lot lately with booze and such. I bought cinnamon whiskey when we've been finding all the ways in which cinnamon whiskey enhances various drinks. We found that if you put a shot of cinnamon whiskey in a glass of hard apple cider, it is basically apple pie cider.
Ooh, God, that sounds good right now.
It's not that I haven't been putting the hurt on some liquor lately. It's just right now, tea sounded good, so that's what we're doing.
I understand. Okay, it's just not your thing right now. That's cool. Well, can't say that tea is something that pirates regularly drink. But like that?
I actually really didn't like that.
Your face doesn't like it. Anyway, we're going to go with it because yes, I'm happy with it.
Well, better segue. You may be drinking tea, but that just leaves the pirates asking, where's the rum gone?
Oh, because that's any better than mine. That's shitty too. And suck it. Anyway, what we're talking about here is, of course, the Assassin's Creed 4 trailer finally broke today. We're recording this on Sunday. And even though it broke via Ubisoft Chile, like, way-ass early this morning. And so, some people were, like, showing the leaked information. It was quickly pulled from YouTube. And then there was a bunch of drama this morning about a bunch of that stuff. Anyway, so now it's been officially released. And did you have a chance to look at it? What'd you think?
I have a funny relationship with Assassin's Creed to begin with, because I only get maybe a third away through the games before I get bored and sort of wander off, you know? I was discussing it with a friend of mine earlier, and he pointed out that he grew up on kill things for money type games. You know, that's what he cut his teeth on. So for him, the Assassin's Creed games are like pretty much exactly what he's ever looking for in life. And I get bored of kill things for money. So the Assassin's Creed franchise continues to get, you know, more beautiful, more interesting, you know, more depth. And I love, you know, chasing things down and running around. And the immersion levels of the game are always gorgeous. And, you know, Black Flag is looking just as good as anything. But I'm probably not going to pick it up because I know me. What's going to happen is I'll pick it up and I'll be like, woo, I'm a pirate for about 20 minutes. And I'm like, can I beat this game without killing anything anymore? I'm bored of that part, and sort of defeats the purpose of the game.
Yeah, that you are an assassin.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the title, yes.
It's not Peaceful Creed. It's not Pacifist Creed. It's fucking Assassin's Creed. And if you don't like to kill things, then yes, that probably would not be the game for you. But that's totally understandable. I'm a big fan of... I hated the first one. Loved 2, brought me around. I didn't play 2 for like a long time, and I finally played 2. I was like, oh my god. I actually played 2 when Brotherhood came out, and someone finally sold me on 2, and I was like, the first one, man, I played it for a little bit, I wasn't sold. And they were like, give 2 a shot. I gave 2 a shot, loved it. Sorry, no. I played the like first, god, hour of Brotherhood, and I went, okay, I want to play this, but I want to know what's going on. I feel like I don't know what's going on. So I went back and played 2. Thus started the cycle of I have been a year behind every time because these games come out every fucking year.
Are you still a year behind, or are you actually caught up for Black Flag?
Oh, no. Now I'm even more behind because I'm still working on Brotherhood. Because I started on Brotherhood forever ago and then had to sell the game for whatever reason. Then bought it back, then sold it again. Like, it always just happened that I needed money, and that game was one of the games I had around and could sell. So then I finally just bought it digitally. Like, I bought it on my Xbox. Not have it. I can't sell it.
You can't
it,
right? sell it. You can't I sell, can't it, sell it.
But I'm behind, like, Revelations now, and I really wanted to play 3, but I will not until I at least beat Brotherhood. I can skip Revelations, but I at least need to play Brotherhood because it's just a thing with me. I'm a completionist. So I have to do it. So I have to like get there, and now we're gonna have another one, and I'm gonna like it just keeps getting worse. Like it's the same reason why I don't read Fables. It's
Oh,
because that
yeah.
they've gotten so far ahead. I just always feel like, I'm never gonna make it. I'm never gonna catch up and be
Well, I'm
flush
the
with
same thing too,
everybody.
and it's totally a money thing too, because at some point, like Fables, there's like 160
Oh,
some
hell
fucking
yeah.
issues out, and even at $2 a pop, that's I can't conceivably look at a thing like I'm gonna get into this and knowingly spend over $300 on it for
Yeah.
comics or whatever. So it's just
Just to
I'm
get to
watching.
catch up with everybody, it's just yeah, it's I've here's the thing though, as I was really looking forward to three, and I'm still looking forward to three because I haven't played it yet. Well,
Oh,
I played
good.
a little bit. I've played a little bit, but I haven't played a ton. So now we got Black Flag coming, and I think if there's a point of I really enjoy the pirate theme. I like pirate games, and up until now, there really hasn't. I was really excited about the Risen games that came out a couple years ago. Neither one of those titles delivered, anywhere near the mechanics or just smoothness. They were just kind of janky, and there was some really cool stuff in there. But there to me, there just hasn't been like a really good pirate game,
Okay.
and I would love to play like. If I was gonna have, a dream setup, it would be, okay, the guys at Assassin's Creed, make a pirate game. Make a game. You've already mastered the sailing thing from the last title. Okay, you got that. And now just like the character looks cool. What I'm hoping is though, here's the thing. I haven't played three, so I come at this with a bit of ignorance. I haven't played three, so I don't know how three ends. So as long as something bad doesn't happen to the main character, I would really like to go back there. Right? I don't want this to be it. I don't want it to be like, okay, well, we're never going back to that setting again, because that's a really cool setting. So I'm hoping what they're going to do here is like every other year have like a different title. So like but go backwards. So like next year, instead of Black Flag sequel, it would be the sequel to Connor. Like, and then the next year you would get you would get a, Black Flag 2 or whatever. Like you would get these
Okay.
titles jumping every year, which gives the
So
development team 2 years instead of one.
I here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get you hired on at who makes these games? I forget.
Ubisoft.
Yeah, we'll get you hired on Ubisoft because you got a plan, man, and I think they need to hear it.
I think it's a good plan. I think it's
It's a
good.
good plan.
And if
Yep.
they're
No, like I
dead
said, so
set.
my plan right now is I have a friend I know who is a total history nerd and has bought the shit out of the Assassin's Creed games because he likes both killing stuff for money and the little the nods to history as well as the actual history that's incorporated in the game. So he will probably buy Black Flag, and then when he is done with it, I'll be like, hey, let me play that game for 20 minutes because that's really all I want out of it. So.
Oh, there you go. That works out. Yeah, it comes out October 29th of this year. And man, it's funny. This year, I have to say, at the beginning of this year, and this kind of leads us to our next topic here, but at the beginning of this year, I thought, okay, the first like 2 months, 3 months are chock full of stuff, leftovers from the year before and things like that. And then you, of course, you have the, juggernaut that is Grand Theft Auto 5 looming somewhere in the summer area of time. That was mostly it. Everything, all the hype was around the new consoles. It wasn't around, like, there wasn't that must-have, Halo 4. There's always a Call of Duty or whatever, but, like, there wasn't, some big game later in the year. Like, you hadn't really heard anything about what they were going to do around, October and November and Christmas, when the most times the giant heavy hitters of the year tend to, like, all come out at the same time. We had a couple really good titles in the first part of the year, but I hadn't heard a bunch.
Right, we've had many years where we've called October Poortober because all the games were coming out, and then this year we're just kind of like, okay, like we'll just get it all out of the way early.
It's spread now. It's funny, right? There's no making us happy right now. It's before it was, yeah, it was all in 1 month. Well, why don't they spread it out more? And now there's like a game release that I want every month, and now I'm going, can I get a break? And can I get to my back catalog? I don't have money. I just bitch regardless. Like, there's no pleasing me, and I understand this, but it sucks for game companies because now they're giving us what we want, technically. There's a title that I really am interested in almost every, or if there's not a title, there's DLC coming from another title. This week, Mass Effect 3 releases their final DLC, and I'm excited to play that. And I've been waiting to finish my second playthrough so I could get that. And it's just, there's just this glut of content coming this year. And that's besides the consoles. That's like, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time.
I can't. Too many games.
But when it
I'm gonna
comes to
go
those.
lay in my fainting couch and fan myself feverishly. It's too much.
this counting Black Flag, which I am really looking forward to, and it would totally be in there, but we were kind of given its own spotlight there. There was actually a pretty cool article on Games Radar. It basically was like the 100 most anticipated games of 2013, and going across all the systems, and it was just a nice little roundup of pretty much everything coming out, not just console, but PC, Steam, Kickstarter, all of this, all these stuff, and it was some. I found a glut. Like there was, I got 10 titles here that I'm just, and that's not even counting some of the ones that I'm like, oh, obvious that are coming out in like a month. Like Gears of War Judgment comes out this month. Tomb Raider. I'm so excited. Pick up my copy on Tuesday. I'm so excited,
Nice.
thrilled. So I mean, there's crap
You'll
like
have to let
that.
me have to know how the Tomb Raider thing goes. Yeah, so you sent me this list and you're like, oh, there's so many games on here. I need a whole bunch of these games. And I like scrolled through the 100 games and it was like, there's like
Oh,
three on here
Jesus.
that I want. And some of them I had never, like, I think part of the problem was like I'd never heard of 97 of them. Let's just round that out. There was the three I'd heard of, and then the 97 of them where I'm like, well, that's cool, I guess. Not gonna buy it, but it looks cool. The things that got me about the list, I actually really enjoyed how many games on those lists were Kickstarter-led games,
Yes.
which I just thought was a nifty kind of gaming culture shift in general. Like, we generally, and I know I do, if a game is coming out from a non or from a publishing studio that I don't already have games from that I love, then odds are pretty good I'm just going to ignore the fuck out of it. But the Kickstarter-led games kind of get their own special press because it's less about some no-name studio, creating some game that may or may not be really crappy, and it's more about the crowdfunding. And suddenly, this game that's been Kickstarted already pretty much has the endorsement of everyone who backed the Kickstarter, which already ups, my interest in the game. I'm like,
Exactly.
oh, well, obviously, a whole bunch of people really think this game is going to be a good game or is really interested in this game. Maybe there's something to it. I should check it out. So, the indie game scene and the Kickstarter-led games, definitely most of those caught my eyes, and I'll probably be keeping an eye out for those releases, regardless, just to even see how the games do. But as far as games that I actually want to buy, just straight off that list, it was the
Hit me with them. Hit me with
Batman
them.
game. Yeah, it was the, what was it? I sent you the list. I can't remember anymore. It was so weak. I'm so weak.
It was weak. It was Batman.
Yeah, Batman's an easy one because I didn't even look at the list. I'm like, if Batman, I was like, I didn't even care if Batman was on the list. Batman was one of my games.
Shadowrun.
Oh yeah, that was interesting. That prompted some discussion at the table too when I brought that up because I game on Sundays before we podcast, so I'm sitting there doing research for the podcast at the same time that we're killing shit and taking their stuff. So it's a good warm
Looting.
up, really. So yeah, so. Basically, the Shadowrun game came up, and I was really curious because I hadn't even heard they were making another Shadowrun game, and I know the other Shadowrun game, the first one, was patently terrible. I think
Yeah, but for a lot of reasons.
it was just abjectly terrible for a lot of reasons. So this one, the still image they had was of a isometric three-quarter screen. It looked more like an RPG and less like an FPS. It piqued my interest for sure. Another one that piqued my interest was actually Dragon Age 3, just some of the descriptions. Dragon Age 2 kind of soured me pretty badly. The game was playable. It wasn't a terrible game, but it wasn't a game that I wanted. So, but the article made a good point that BioWare tends to do really good with fan feedback. So, I will at least let Dragon Age 3 release and make sure it doesn't suck, and then I may pick that up anyway.
Yeah, and they've had also another year of development time on that title as well. They didn't rush it, and yeah, there was a lot of fan feedback. I'm that's on my list as well. So I'll kind of chime in there. That's one that I'm really excited about. I think BioWare, they've learned. And they'll take some of those lessons, and from all the things I've heard, that it really seems to be going back towards, I mean, what a sequel should be, taking the best parts of, there were a lot of problems with Dragon Age 2. However, the characters were phenomenal, the dialogue was phenomenal. Yeah, the characters were
great. I even enjoyed the inventory system, the dialogue was its usual top-notch stuff.
Yeah.
My problem with Dragon Age 2, and I think I mentioned this before, that it felt like a step back. You know, in Dragon Age Origins, you save the whole fucking world from fucking undead dragons and shit. And then in Dragon Age 2, you're like, oh, there's this one city you could fuck around in, you know? So, you know,
yeah.
there's a sense of scale. And then, you know, of course, the ending, which you know, one of the things we like about the Dragon Age game was that, you know, you made choices in the game and it affected your gameplay experience and your ending. And it was less so with Dragon Age 2. Like, you could still make choices in the game, but largely you got the same fucking ending no matter what you did. So,
yeah.
Yeah, which was lame. So, you know, I have a little flicker, a little tiny flame of hope in my heart for Dragon Age 3. It is weak, but it flickers madly and with passion. So,
and then, of course, the big gun that's coming out this month is BioShock Infinite.
Yes, I did just catch. Yeah. Yes, I haven't finished BioShock 2. I did manage. I promised myself at the beginning of the year, I put on my big girl panties and I played BioShock 1. And I thought that gave me the chops to play the Amnesia game, which I see there's that I saw the sequel for that coming out this year too, and I didn't get very far in the Amnesia game before I was like, nope, done. Did we talk about this last week? I suddenly can't remember.
No.
So the thing about BioShock, the thing that BioShock and Amnesia share is that there's a huge amount of atmospheric horror going on. You know, there's noises and creepy shit and people talking and like ambient sound and ambient atmosphere, and it's both are very rich with this beautiful atmosphere. Okay, BioShock though, I can set things on fire, and I feel that agency there that gives me made that a much more playable game for me. Whereas with Amnesia, if you come across a monster, you have nothing to fight it with. I mean, literally, if you try to fight the monster, you will die. You know, the game makes this very clear. I didn't even try. So you come across a monster, and you have to put your light out, okay? So, and if you're standing in the darkness, it drains your sanity. So you're sitting there in the darkness, like, basically shivering like a fucking shaken, like a shaky baby deer. And the part that got me was that, so I'm staring at this monster in the corner, like, just trying to will it to go away, and then the game pops up with a warning with, by the way, looking at monsters also drains your sanity. So your response to monsters is to hide in a dark corner and don't look at it and hope it goes away, which is the point where I was like, yeah, I'm not playing this game.
Damn, that's creepy as shit just describing.
Creepy as fuck. I spent a lot of time hiding in a closet with a candle. Like, I swear to God. So I'd freak out and I'd run in the closet and close the door. Not in real life, but in the game. I'd close the door and I'm like trying to recover sanity. But, oh my God. Yeah, so, and a lot of it has to do with the ambient noise. Like, the graphics are okay, but the ambient noise and the mechanics both serve very well to instill horror. So I looked at they're coming out, like I said, with a sequel, which I'm like, they did a very good job with the first game. I can't play it. And the sequel is the same game with now better graphics. Like, I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, it's kind of like how I played when I played Slender Man. That was just kind of, it freaked the shit out of me. But again, was it the graphics are not the greatest? And, you know, it's all the sound. And also, it's just the fact that, you know, you turn around a corner and there it is. You know, and he's like in the static and all this other shit. It's all the other extra cues that go a long way.
Yeah, that thing, Amnesia has, you know, moments where you're hallucinating, moments where the whole world shifts, like, and you stumble and the ground shakes. There are sometimes you come out of a room and the ground in front of you becomes like, and the walls become covered in like these throbbing red pulsating veins where if you touch them.
All right, we're good. And,
believe it or not, this is a game recommendation. I realize that I don't cope with being terrified very well. My John wants to play the game because he was watching me play it, and even his snarky comments were not enough to dispel the horror, and I had to stop. But he's gonna play it, and maybe I can watch it. My other solution is to turn the sound off in the game and play like really happy J-pop while I play.
Oh, that would be awesome. I have, it's kind of like how I have memories of playing Breath of Fire 3 to the Casey and JoJo CD that I bought. Because at the time, that's the CD I was like really listening to. Oh, and Mace. It was Casey and JoJo and Mace, and it would be like I'd be in this dungeon and fighting shit, and it would be to like 24 hours to live and all my life. It's awesome. It's a random soundtrack, I know, but still, whatever. So of the games
that I actually like saw, I read through the whole list and I went, okay, so BioShock I want. I've had a hard time getting BioShock 2 to play because on the PC it requires this Windows Live login, and I've actually been fighting the game to just play it, and it's been pissing me off because I'm like, dude, if I fucking pirated the game, I've been playing it half an hour ago. But like I played the game for like an hour and a half, and it was like, oh, you need to be logged into Windows Live to be able to save your game. And I didn't have a profile or nothing. So yeah, well, I mean, it was an anti-piracy measure when the game came out, and obviously they abandoned it, but it's still attached to the actual game. So yeah, so it was just like, so I'm frustrated, but I do intend to play through BioShock 2, and then I'll probably pick up Infinite.
Yeah, no, while we were talking about Kickstarter-ish, there's actually a couple on my list here via the Kickstarter thing. The one is the Banner Saga that just looked it's right up my alley, okay? So it's kind of like they cited Final Fantasy Tactics, which is one of my favorite games of all time, and Shining Force. Yeah.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics is not one of my favorite games. I've never played it, but I'm not really a tactics game kind of person. But I know that the people who are into tactics games, that is in their top favorite happy list. So I saw that and went, you know, that looks awesome, but not for me kind of thing.
Yeah, it's got the very, like, the graphics look like some out of a Don Bluth picture. Very cool 2D animated style to it. Of course, it's got the tactics thing, but it's also made by some ex-BioWare people. So hoping for really good things there. They said the tone was more Game of Thrones. And the gameplay is more Final Fantasy Tactics and Shining Force. And I was like, sign me up. You know, that's awesome. And it's coming to 360, PS3, and then, of course, PC, OS X, Linux, iPad. Like, it's coming to every damn platform, which is great. So I can actually, that's something I'd love to buy for the Mac. Tactics games are one of the few, are the games that's like, I would rather have a mouse. Like, it's just, there's something about having a mouse and keyboard for that kind of thing. It's perfect. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Of course, the Arkham game, that's kind of a no-brainer. And in fact, I did the same thing. I actually put it on here before I even read. I was like, no, that's
not. Look at the list. You're like, yeah, I've got one for you. It's right here. And if it's not on the list, that's how we know it would be a stupid list if it weren't on there. But it was. And it was toward the top of the list. So, you know, we were all right, you know what to talk about.
I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. Jane Jensen's Mobius. This is actually an adventure game to kind of the following the Double Fine's Kickstarter thing. It's the first of two point and click adventure games that she'll be working on, and it's very much the way to look at it. It's kind of a thriller, and it's when I read the setup, it's like a blend of Indiana Jones and Carmen Sandiego. It's basically a metaphysical thriller that follows an antiquities dealer around the world, and the art looks cool just from a couple of the screenshot and stuff. The art style looks neat if they stick with that. It's supposed to have kind of a graphic novel look in the graphics. It's a third person adventure game, and I'm like, I'm sold. It's pretty cool. I love like detective stuff and tracking down things. I love that style of game. So I'm excited for that. It comes to PC and Mac. They haven't announced a release date or anything on that, but it is coming soon. And then of course, and again, this might be this is also one of the sole things that I'm really questioning whether I want to go ahead and pop for PS4 this round of console wars. Because
I know, I just like, I saw some stuff that was released for the PS4 and I was like, it's a double whammy of like, even if I want the game, I'd have to buy a PS4, and we already discussed last week that that's not likely to be happening.
Well, see, so. But I was this close to buying a PS3. I was gonna buy a PS3 this year, and that's why I was kind of hoping, to be honest, that the new systems would be next year and not coming out this year, because there's like some games here that I really want on the PS3, and there is no concrete info as to when the PS4 will get its backwards compatibility. And so I'm going to be stuck with I'm going to buy a PS4, have some of the really cool games that are on it. There's only going to be a handful. And then all these really cool titles that are coming to the PS3, I'm not going to be able to play for like a couple months. And I'm like, really? Do I want to buy You know, do I want to spend that much money and buy it like that and not get anything day one? Like, another title is, and I never know how to pronounce these things, but I'm gonna take a stab at it. Tales of Zixilla, Zixilia,
I don't know.
Zilia.
I couldn't pronounce any of that. This is why we read things, so we don't have to pronounce them out loud.
So this title is kind of making its debut, and it's kind of been long in development, but it's gorgeous. Okay, I love the Tales games. Tales of Vesperia is still one of my favorite RPGs of this current generation. Loved it. Loved the characters. Just loved everything about it. And this game is kind of taking a lot of its cues from that, and then blending in some of the combat and things like that. It looks gorgeous. It's a PS3 exclusive. And here's my thing: the PS3 this generation has had so many more RPGs than the 360 ever got. And I
Yep,
was just, yeah,
I
and it
can be
just,
that.
yeah, just looking at it, I'm like, do I want to do that again? I missed out on so many great RPGs because I didn't own a PS3. And I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of, it's to that point where I'm like, okay, if I'm investing in the next generation of consoles, is it going to get any better? They're just going to keep going. They already have these relationships. They're just going to keep going to Sony. I want to play these damn things. I wanted to play all the Disgaea games. I wanted to play all these games, and I never had access to them. I wanted to play all the Tales games since Vesperia have gone straight there. Like Nippon Ichi, anything that the Muramasa makes, all those games are straight to the PS3 or whatever system Sony has. And the other place they go is the handheld. And I don't want a 3DS, and
Yeah,
I don't want a
I
Nintendo.
don't have a
Yeah,
handheld
exactly. So I'm
either. You know.
screwed. I don't get to play stuff. I get to play one like every now and then. And I'm like, man, if I gotta make the call,
This
I
is
think that might be the biggest thing.
for me. This is why Dragon Age 3 needs to be good. I need something. Just
Well, that's
throw me a bone, you
well,
know.
exactly. And if it's not a Western RPG, you're screwed.
I know.
So Mass Effect, like Dragon Age, like those are great and those are awesome. But if you want anything with a Japanese flavor, aside from Lost Odyssey, there really hasn't been one for the
Yeah,
360.
I was actually in a GameStop the other day, and I admit I was eyeballing like the older JRPGs that did come out, like Lost Odyssey and stuff. I was like, I didn't even like those games, but if this is what I'm gonna get, maybe I should just play them anyway.
Wow.
I
Ringing
know, it's super
endorsements.
sad. Although hilarious, total side story. I did end up buying Lego Lord of the Rings.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. So, my man friend John, we hadn't played a co-op game together, and I know the Lego games have good co-op mode, okay? So I was like, well, let's see how he does in co-op. It wasn't like a test. It was like, well, let's see if co-op games are a thing we can do together. Like that might be a fun joint activity. And the Lego games tend to be cheaper than usual games. So like Lord of the Rings is an expensive Lego game, but it's at $40. And I'm like, you know what? We would spend more than that going out to dinner, and that sounds like just fine. And his Respond A, he is a good co-op player. Like, we definitely co-oped the crap out of that, and that was great. But B, his immediate, visceral, joyful reaction to the destructible environments just like, we were only supposed to play for half an hour because it was really late and we were tired, and we ended up for 2 hours playing because he was just like wrecking everything and having such a good time.
Those games are so fun. They're
Oh my
I was
God.
playing Lego DC Super Heroes the other day, and I was actually waiting for a round of Gears to start. Like, I was waiting for friends to hop on so we could play Gears of War, and then I stuck in DC Batman, played for half an hour. And I was like, and they're like, oh,
Yeah,
we'll be
I
there in
like
a second. I was like, I don't care. It's fine.
that one's even cheaper than Lord of the Rings. That one's only $30, you
It's
know.
so fun.
And one of the games on this 100 top 100 list is another Lego game that I was eyeballing too. It was and it's not a licensed title, like, so you know, DC, Marvel, whatever, but it's a unique game, like, called
Oh,
Lego City.
Lego City Undercover?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks fun as hell too. It's like Grand Theft Auto in the Legoverse.
Right. I'm sure there will be less hooker
Well,
slapping, but
probably. Also less dildos and less pretty
yeah.
much less racial stereotypes, but I mean, hey, whatever. That's part of what makes Grand Theft Auto fun. No, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Marvel. Well, that's another one. Marvel Lego. I don't know when that's coming out. That wasn't actually on this list, but if that
Nope.
comes out, this year, I'm sold. There's another $60 of my money out the door. Also, Fables. Telltale is going to be doing the Fable series, and they announced this a while back, but haven't really heard anything on that front. I am so excited. If they're anything remotely like The Walking Dead and the storytelling and the episodic content type thing and all that, I'm sold. I will be forking over my money in a heartbeat. Also, Fuse, with the announcement, or with the impending release of Gears of War Judgment here, the more and more I see a Fuse, the more and more I really get that same type of vibe, the fun, if you can get a couple people together with you, the Borderlands feel, right? To me, this is kind of what has that Borderlands feel. Not from a graphical style or anything point, just for me. The joy that people get from getting three friends together and romping through Borderlands or, you know, or whatever. That this has that for me, because I like third-person games. I'm not a big first-person shooter fan. The dialogue's fun.
I think that's actually, I mean, you know, to wrap it back around to the Lego games, I think that's part of the appeal of the Lego games, too. Like, I've never played the Lego games on solo mode. I'm sure they're fine, but I think, you know, for me, you know, me and John are playing, you know, I've played Lego games with other people, too, and the fun of it is both is having the people together, all having that experience and just howling.
And being stupid, you know, just generally just having fun and being stupid, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that Lego City undercover.
Having John run up to me, we're trashing Hobbiton, and having John run up to me and saying, "Jen, I think we got to go. I may have killed all of the hobbits." You know,
those types of those Lego games engender themselves to just fun. That's all they are.
But that's not just the Lego games, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the good thing when co-op happens. You know, is it's less about the game itself and more about the experience of interacting with other people in the game.
Yeah. No. That absolutely. Because even the times I've played Resident Evil co-op with a buddy, and it's been that kind of experience. There's just, you know, so many. There's just a certain kind of fun that only co-op can provide. One game that looks, I don't know if it's gonna be co-op or not. Again, and I, you know, my rants on the Wii U. Okay, so I have this.
That's my other problem with that top 100 list. I'm like, hey, a lot of these are on platforms I don't fucking got. So you know, that narrowed down my list of games I actually want off that list.
But there's a Yoshi game. And I love Yoshi. I love Yoshi. Of all the Nintendo characters, he's my favorite, right? He's just whatever. It's always been that way. Never been a big Mario fan or whatever. But once Yoshi came on the scene, I was sold. And there's a Yoshi game, and it's got the same type of... I don't know if you knew about the Kirby game that was all based on yarn.
Yeah, I do remember that game. It looked interesting. I never got to play it, but it looked interesting.
So this is kind of it's another type of that type of game, but it's Yoshi, and it looks gorgeous, and he's like, he looks plush. I'm a sucker for Yoshi. I love him. Yoshi! You know, all that shit. I can do that.
I was tempted to get a Wii U because of the Zelda game. Are you looking at this Yoshi game and going, maybe?
I'll go to somebody's house.
What was that?
I'll go to somebody's house.
Oh, okay. You're pulling my Assassin's Creed solution. Thing that I want.
I'm not buying that shit for free? One game. I'm not buying that shit for one game. And it's not going to be a Yoshi game. I love Yoshi beyond belief, but I will not buy a Nintendo system just so I can play that. But I will go over to somebody's house and steal their Wii U for about 2 hours while I play the shit out of that, because it looks fun. One of the reasons why, in stark contrast to that, one of the reasons why I was buying a PS3 this year was The Last of Us, and that's coming out. I am so excited for that game. And again, it's kind of...
I think you've thrown a trailer at me before. It was another survival horror kind of game, but more survival than horror, right?
Exactly. Very much not quite Amnesia, you know? Not quite go in a corner and hide and don't do anything, but
go in the closet, close the door, and listen this thing shuffle past and breathe heavily. Like, I was having problems.
It's not that much so, but it is very, you know, you got to keep your lights off. You got to be, you know, the infected are very cognizant of sounds and light and things like that. So when you're around them, you can avoid them, and avoidance is the best solution instead of just using all your bullets. It's very anti-Resident Evil over the last few years, where just shoot it until it dies. you know, you're gonna find 10 clips along the way, and so it doesn't matter where it used to. So I'm really, I think it's funny. I think more and more as I, and especially now, it's even hit me as we're going through this list. The more and more we go through this list, the more and more I think I'm not buying a PS4 this year. I'm just gonna buy a PS3. Oh. And I'm just going to enjoy my systems for another year. And then somewhere along the line, when there's a really good deal offered on the new consoles, you know, maybe in the first part of next year, you know, a couple months in, there's some good deals, or I want to, okay, I'm ready, I want to trade in all my shit, then that's what's going to happen. I'll trade in both systems, you know. But, like, I think I'm just going to find a good deal on a used PS3. Just, there's so many games I still want to play.
Just go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... And maybe this is a function of us, you know, just having old people amounts of time, which is to say not much. But, it, you know, new games come out, games that we really like, games that we want to play. But because we just literally don't have the time to play all the games, that we don't need to buy all the new games. We don't need to buy all the new systems. We're like, no, we can just play all the crap we haven't even caught up on yet. We'll leave all the sudden purchasing of new systems to the youngins. We'll just sit on our lawns and play our PS3s.
But then there's that side of me where I go, you know what? Come October or November, when this thing releases, man, the pool is going to be so strong for me to get my ass out, get in some line somewhere, and buy this thing on day one. Right, like it's gonna happen. We'll see. I'll have to make my decision after Microsoft reveals what it's doing, because right now they've engendered enough. Like, I really like my 360. I've loved it actually for, you know, its life cycle here. So they would have to do something really, you know, boneheaded, or just come show up to the fight here and go, yeah, we're not really all that prepared, and Sony just lit them, and it would be that kind of thing for me to switch. And Sony's presented some really nice, you know, plans. But yeah, there's that side of me that goes, man, for what, $150, I could probably go get a used PS3, play all these fucking games. I still haven't beaten Metal Gear Solid 4. I'm still waiting to play that.
Wasn't
shit.
There another Metal Gear Solid on that list too?
Yeah. We're going to
ignore
that because I don't know what it is. But, I mean, there's a ton. Like, Watch Dogs is still on here. I would love to play that. I mean, but again, a lot of these titles, too, like Black Flag is announced for current-gen consoles as well as next-gen, plural. So these games that are coming out right here kind of at the tail end, they're all coming to current consoles anyway. While, yeah, I might not be able to play Watch Dogs on the, you know, the PS4, I can still play it on the PS3, you know, Black Flag. I can still play these games up until, like, next year, towards that middle mark, where then you'll start getting, okay, you know, we're going to go ahead and fully move over.
No. I don't know, though, because they, and maybe they will. I don't know if you're running on something, some release where they say specifically they're going to stop making PS3 games. But when they came out with the PS3, they were still making PS2 games for a good long while.
Yeah.
It took them a long time to stop making PS2 games. So a PS3, really, with the advent of the PS4 right now, might still be pretty much your best investment.
I'm thinking so. I think this year, that's what I'm going to do. I want to play Last of Us. I want to play some of these titles. And if Sony had come out and said that streaming service available from day one, I would have bought a PS4. Because I went, okay, well then my money's still, you know, my money's going towards playing some of these older games. And because they didn't, then they're like, well, we don't know when that's going to be implemented. It's like, that Sony, with knowing Sony, that could be like 3 years from now. And that shit finally comes around. I get to play Last of Us 3.5 years later. It's like, no, I don't want to fucking do that. I trusted them once, and they left me burned on a couple of promises. You know, that's just kind of, I'm still waiting for Final Fantasy Versus. What the fuck is that? That's not on this list, by the way, because that's never coming out. that shit's done. That shit's buried in someone's office.
I'm trying to get John to play Duke Nukem Forever. I never got very far in it because it took me not very long to realize it was terrible. but I bought the game, and I'm like, damn it, someone should actually play it. And John keeps waffling back and forth because he keeps going. He does the same thing. He's like, well, it's Duke Nukem, and it's already here. You know, so maybe I could just play it. And then he goes to pick up the controller, and then he, like, recoils, and he's like, but maybe I don't want to. And then he goes plays with his magic cards or something.
Yeah, that's me. I've been known to turn on my Xbox, load it up, and then sit and read a comic book in front of my TV. I've done that so many times.
Sometimes when a game comes out, it's not even worth the wait or whatever. So, you know, like, maybe you should just be happy that's never coming out.
Maybe I should just be happy that thing. It looks so cool, though, in parts, anyway. That's like Kingdom Hearts 3. God knows when that stupid thing's going to come out. But one thing that did come out.
I didn't even know Dragon Age 3 was coming out this year. So when I saw that on the list, I was actually kind of like, oh, sweet. I thought that was a title I was going to be waiting forever for. So
I'm really hopeful for that. Like, seriously, I'm hoping really good things for Dragon Age 3, because I know Dragon Age 2 had so many fucking problems, but now, granted, that's also coming to 360 and PS3 and PC. No mention of next gen. So, you know, again, like, you're not, to me, this generation, more than anything, you're not really going to be missing out on a ton of shit because you don't upgrade right away. And it might be the year, you know, finally the console cycle to, like, step back and go, which one do I actually want, you know, and not feel like you're going to lose out, you know? So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But also, real quick, as an aside here, I saw it. League of Legends actually released a Mac client.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too. I waffle on League of Legends, too. I have a lot of friends who play it, and I know they have that honor system that seems to have cleaned up a lot of the... or some of the worst of the trash talk, but there's still some issues. There's still a lot of newbie bashing that goes on, and having friends that play means it would make it easier for me to get into it. But again, I, you know, like I said earlier, tactics and strategy aren't really my strong suit, so it would be a game I would play solely to play with my friends, and that makes the Mac beta really tempting.
Right? Because, yeah, I already downloaded it.
Oh,
it's on my system already. So I've heard a lot about it. I even downloaded at one point in time the Heroes of New Earth client, because they had one, you know, that was for Mac as well, and I downloaded that a while back. Never really played it, just never had the time, or, you know, when I did, I just ended up playing other shit. So this is kind of one of those things, though. I've always wanted to give it a shot, watched a lot of gameplay videos and things like that, and, you know, why not? Yeah, it's kind of, I love tactical games, but if there's, I have to admit something here. I am a little scared. I'm scared shitless about playing this game because of the stories, the horror stories of.
Oh, right.
Of people just getting, you know, if you're remotely noobish or you're not on top of your game.
Penny Arcade even do a comic about it last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they'll roast you. These people, like, boot you out of games shit for sucking at it, even if you're upfront about it. Like, oh, I suck. This is my first time. You know, let me be over here doing stupid shit and just figuring out controls. You know, I'm just trying to blast people, dude.
You don't even get that learning curve. Right, so that's what I'm saying. So, you know, I have friends who play, you know, in private games with each other, and I'm pretty sure I could go like, hey, guys, let's play. And they'd be like, all right, Jen, we know you and like you, and even though you are very likely to suck, we will play with you because playing with friends is great, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the appeal for me. But if you don't have that, it's an intimidating environment.
Yeah, and I as of right now, I don't really know anybody that plays it. So, like, I'm just going to go in there freelance, just running around like a dumbass. Oh, what's this dude?
Right.
Oh, this tower is pretty.
You play this week and then come back next week and you're just going to be like a sobbing wreck on the podcast.
They didn't like my ranger.
And nobody likes me.
And his name was Raider. And they didn't like him. He was shitty. And I even named my minion Yoshi, and they didn't like him either. Yeah, it's gonna be that. That's what's gonna be next week. I am gonna give it a shot, but don't be surprised if I end up in your game. Please don't boot me. I'm really trying to learn here. I will be taken under tutelage. Like I'm good. Like I'm a good apprentice. I will learn. Just don't boot me. You know, don't do that. It's cold blooded, man. Like I'm learning anyway. So
be
with
gentle.
That,
it's my first time.
It's soon, please. Just don't make me look into your eyes. So with that, we're gonna take a break, and then when we get back, we will go over some collardables and some fun stuff. Thank you for listening to that groovy music. You dig it, Tomcat? Like my thing there of 70s slang?
That was very convincing. I bet you sprouted a 70s mustache just speaking it.
If I already didn't have one, that would be an issue. But I already have one.
Your mustache sprouted its own mustache.
It's true. I have a mustachey. I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. One of the pieces of art I've got this week for the collateral segment, I have to admit, I have no idea who did this. And I hate that. I hate not knowing. And I found it on the Shadowloo's Facebook page. And I'll credit, by the time this goes up in the show notes, I'll credit whoever did this. But to whoever did, kudos, because it's pretty cool. So it's basically a Mushroom Kingdom emergency room. And it's all of the different, like, enemies from the Mario games, and they're, like, poor bodies after they've been hurt. So, like, it's got the little Toad and his head smashed in, and he's dazed. And then it's got, like, the Koopa with he's naked because he doesn't have his shell. And so he's got his shell on top of him. And then I forget what the red ones are called. The little Shy Guys? Shy Guy's got a little plant in his eye. It's so cute. It's so cute, and yet you feel so bad. Also, what's great is that the vending machine in the back has, like, stars and mushrooms and shit in the bag. If you, like, look really hard, it's pretty cool. I dug it. It was fun.
Nice.
And it was... Yeah.
It was. I checked it out. It was pretty cute. There was actually another piece that I just didn't have time to go hunt down. It would have been my response to that, because it was I think like a DC superhero emergency room, and it was Superman getting checked out, and like it had a whole bunch of different heroes with injuries, but then there was Batman who was just there to laugh at Superman, and
because he's injured.
You know, so I was gonna say.
That's awesome.
But it was a pretty cute piece, but like I said, I didn't bother to hunt that down because I had more important things to share with the world. Because
wow.
Giant robots are the rights of all sentient species.
Way to build that one up.
I know. So there was I don't remember what toy fair it was unveiled at, because I'm not actually personally a toy collector. I just am friend, or you know, I live with one. So you know, I there are mountains of toys in my house, but you know, I personally, and we kind of a constant theme on this show where you show me a toy and I'm like, you want to pay how much for a what now? Like, But recently, that toy collector housemate was playing Fall of Cybertron, the Transformers game, and one of the Transformers is Metroplex, who's enormous. He is Cybertron City, the spirit of Cybertron City, and he plays this bitchin' character in this game, and he fucking, you know, punches the shit out of Megatron. Like, it's just a really cool thing. So I'm like looking at it, realizing that they're coming out in the fall with a Metroplex Transformers. It is the biggest Transformer that they've ever released. It is articulated to the nines. I mean, not just arms and legs and flaps and stuff. Its fucking pupils are articulated. Okay? It has three modes as opposed to the, you know, usual two modes of most of the, you know, they have the vehicle mode or the the robot mode, whereas Metroplex has, you know, vehicle mode where he's a battle carrier, robot mode where he's a fucking enormous robot, and then city mode where he's a fucking city. So, like, this thing is insanely awesome, and it's $130, which for me, bizarrely, in my brain, sounds really reasonable.
Welcome to the dark side. Welcome. We have tea.
So, yeah, we'll pop a link to the Metroplex in the show notes because it is bitching. It doesn't come out till the fall, but I after watching him in action in the game today, you know, I am looking at, again, I have a toy collector in my house. So clearly I can't buy toys for myself. That would be ridiculous. But I could buy him toys and then the toys would live with me. So, you know, I'm looking at that might be something of a Christmas present for a certain someone I live with, which I already told him that today, too. I mean, this is not like me spoiling Christmas. This is me going, I need an excuse to buy this toy when it comes out and you're it. And of course, his response is like, woohoo. So
I was going to say, yeah, he's not arguing.
But this does lead me to a sort of an existential crisis that I've been having lately. I have mentioned before on the show my disdain for, like, Ninja Turtles. You know, you, Knight of Oa, in your preciousness, you know, tell Ninja Turtle stories from when you were young and like to pretend to be Ninja Turtles. And, you know, my response is like, dude, Ninja Turtles are dumb and you should feel bad, you know? And it wasn't until recently that I felt the same way about Transformers, too. I was not a, like, I'm like, yeah, robots that transform is a cool concept, but the show is just like cheesy 80s stuff, right? Like, who cares? So Transformers Prime is on Netflix, which is, you know, mainly how I watch TV, is I watch whole seasons at a time. And it is the fucking bitchinest show that I have cartoon that I've watched in a long time. Like, it is awesome. And some of the original voices from the original 80s cartoon, like Peter Cullen, who is Optimus Prime again, and he starts speaking, and I turn to John, and I'm like, is this why you love the cartoon? Because he talks to you, and it's like the most fatherly, inclusive leadership voice, and you just want to sit here and listen to him all day and be like, yes, Optimus. And he's like, yeah, that's why. And I'm like, I made a comment to friends of mine. I'm like, I always laughed at you when you told me you cried during the Transformers movie, and now I can't even contemplate it. Like, if I think about Optimus dying, my heart seizes up. I'm like, no, we can't. That's not okay. So on top of falling as a, you know, a grown ass woman, falling in love with Transformers now, I also I put an article up on Women Reading Comics about the new Ninja Turtle comic series. They're doing a backstory right now called Secret History of the Foot Clan. And I picked up the comic. I swear to God, I picked up the comic so I could read it and make fun of it. I mean, this is horrible. I get review copies of comics, and my editor had asked if I would review a comic that I didn't actually want to review because it was like, eh, like I didn't like the last one. So I'm like hunting around in the review copies of stuff to see if there's something I wanted to read instead. And I pick up the Ninja Turtle one, and I'm like, oh, this should be good for a laugh. And then I'm like, holy shit. And you're cackling in justification, aren't you?
I really am. So, this is a year of all turtles are awesome. Transformers are awesome. You go, wow, I don't understand. I don't get why they're awesome. I mean, it's kind of lame. It's kind of cheesy. You know, like, no, you don't understand. Optimus is like my dad. You know, he's this shit. And he speaks and the world stops. He's awesome.
Yes, it's true. It's all true.
It's really the shit there. And I am totally reveling in this moment. And
yeah, so this is me giving a second pass to an apology for every third grade boy I ever mercilessly teased. Because I was wrong, guys. You were right, and I was wrong.
Well, that is all of us are clapping. Oh, okay. Slow clap, everybody. Slow clap. Thank you. I'm so happy. So good. And welcome to the world of overpriced toys.
Yes.
Overpriced toys from franchises you loved 10 years ago. Welcome to that world.
The toy collector friend in my house, he has Ninja Turtle toys too. I had to apologize to everyone in my household. John, especially, when he realized I have now decided I love the Ninja Turtles, turned to me and demanded his apology in person right there. He was like, you have to say you're sorry to me because you were mean about Ninja Turtles. And the toy collector friend has some Ninja Turtle toys. And I went in his room looking for a pencil or something stupid. And I like stopped and looked at the Ninja Turtle toys. And I was like, it's going to be okay, guys.
They're real. So you're loving the book, or you love the book that you read. I'm actually really enjoying the TV show. I've been watching that every weekend.
Oh, have you? Yeah, I haven't picked up the TV show yet, but it's good.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun. It's kind of, it's just popcorn fun. I like the characters. I like April O'Neil, and I like my family. I love the Turtles. I've always had a soft spot for them. Though it was met with a little bit of when Megan Fox was cast as April O'Neil in the movie.
So I had I'm just going to talk about discussions I had with friends today. Discussions with Friends, the podcast. A friend of mine pointed out that a lot of people are harshing on Megan Fox in like really sexist ways. Like they're basically complaining about Megan Fox as a person because of how she looks, and I'm like, my problem is not with Megan Fox. My problem is actually with Michael Bay, because whenever he casts Megan Fox, he casts her in like really stupidly sexist roles.
See, my problem is with Megan Fox, because every time she opens her mouth, she's a fucking idiot. That's why. That's why my problem is with her. Have you ever heard interviews with her? She's a box of rocks. Okay, that's like, and it's. I say that about dudes too. Like every time she says,
But I'm like, yeah, but I have the same response to dudes too. I'm like, they're actors. They need the work. That's fine. It's a job. She got a job. Good for her. But, Michael Bay, on the other hand, like I said, he every time Megan Fox lands in a role with Michael Bay, it is some, eye candy sexual fetishization thing, not actual character, doesn't form two sentences to put together, kind of like, and when you're casting love interests and stuff, it's a little more, I don't want to use the word acceptable, but, it's going to get a little more of a pass, because you're not really casting characters at that point. You're casting plot devices. But April O'Neil is a real person, okay?
She really is. She's a cool character, and she doesn't need to be, like, man, but we'll see. Hey, maybe she'll surprise me and, like, just nail it. But I'm just saying, as overall, her every time swears, she tweets. She says things. She's in interviews. She has this wonderful habit of like alienating people and companies that want to employ her. It's amazing how much
which is probably how she ended up back with Michael Bay. She did it to him too. Like they had a fight and she's off. But
It was like, I would never play Wonder Woman, and I would never do this. And there was like, and then they'll ask her questions, and she's always come off as meh. Maybe that is all you can do. Maybe that character, maybe just not because your attitude sucks. Like, it's just, whatever. It's not anything about your talent. It's not because you're a woman. It's not because I ain't that shit, because there are plenty of other women actresses. There's plenty of other actresses out there that don't do that, So it's just kind of like, man, come on, stop biting yourself in the, shooting yourself in the foot, basically. But we'll see. Maybe she will just nail it. I don't care, as long as Casey Jones is in the movie.
Casey Jones was in the comic, too, by the way. Yeah, so yeah, I was having the full gamut of, like, coolness. And it keeps switching back to, like, feudal samurai days with Shredder and his backstory. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is, like, a good kung fu movie.
One of the cool things, and then we'll segue out here, but one of the cool things I love about the cartoon is how they handled Krang. So, Krang's... Like, there's not one central Krang. There's actually, like, the Krang. Like, Krang is an alien race. Okay. And they're all those little brain-looking creepy things. And they actually, like, the androids and stuff. Like, you know how Krang used to have the one big android?
Yeah, they rode around in the belly of, right?
In the belly of. Well, they all do that here. But that's how they get around. It's because their species, that little, brain thing or whatever. And they
Isn't Krang voiced by Roseanne Barr?
Is he?
I thought she was voiced somewhere.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. back then if she was. Shredder!
Yeah, like,
turn
like,
off our evil!
It was going to be Roxanne Barr. It totally said, we were like, no, that's like a perfect fit. Like,
yeah,
yes.
Oh, it's absolutely perfect for me. Becky! Yeah, that shit. That shit. I would just love Krang to shout Becky. Yeah,
so, so yeah, so that's basically, you know, Ninja Turtles are awesome, Transformers are awesome, I'm an asshole, and I have been an asshole for, let's see, in third grade, I was probably, like,
well, Jada,
I was, like, 8, so, no, I've been an asshole for 24 years, and I'm sorry.
Admitting you have a problem is the first step to recovery, and, before we head out, though, what a cool announcement that came out over the weekend was that one of our favorite writers, I believe, is Gail Simone, and she will be taking over the Red Sonja book that Dynamite puts out. And I gotta say, I'm pretty intrigued. It's a character I've never really read before, and just basically know her for her outfit. I mean, that's kind
right,
of
pretty
the only...
much, yeah. Yeah. She is the originator of the chainmail bikini, which is, you know, iconic in its own way. And I, my understanding is that she's like a basically a Conan the Barbarian, but, you know, in chainmail bikini form. So hopefully, you know, in the hands of Gail Simone, it'll be super bitchin'. And she did say in the article that I read that, you know, that while the chainmail bikini is iconic and it shouldn't mean the, make the character any less awesome, you know, they might be exploring other outfits for her. So,
which would be cool with me. That would be cool. You know, keep a nod if you want, but I mean, it doesn't have to be that, you know. But that's pretty awesome. I will give that a read because it is Gail Simone, so I'll at least give her a shot to pretty much anything she writes.
Yeah. Go ahead and, you know, a single issue of a comic book, you know, on release day is $4, and it never hurts to drop $4 on, you know, what might be half an hour of entertainment, but...
Exactly. So with that, you can always read J-Dot's views on comics at Women Reading Comics. And is it? It's reading, right? Not writing?
Yes. No, it's,
I got
it's
it right
women
this
reading
time.
Comics.
You know, I was so proud because I got it right, but then I had to double check.
Yeah. Yes, we have Women Reading Comics. And if, you know, you are a woman what reads comics, we are looking for more writers. So, you know, you're always welcome to hit us up, too. You know, if you have opinions on things, it's pretty much the bottom prerequisite there, you know. So definitely look for more contributors as well. And you can check out my articles there. And then, of course, I have a comic that I do write, but the site's not Women Reading Women Writing Comics. That one's vanitygames.com. I just finished up the Saga of Manfred, and I had a friend of mine point out that my little love story failed the Bechdel test. And I started to protest. She's like, no, it's not a bad thing. She's just, I'm like, just laughing at you. She's like, I knew it would provoke you if I pointed that out. So, you know, next week is going to be a comic about me talking to her about the Bechdel test, thereby passing the Bechdel test. So it'll...
wow, looked, that's so meta.
Like, that's, yes, and it summons the meta Bechdel, who then destroys downtown. It's a thing. So, yeah, you know, tune in for commentary like that on the comic at vanitygames.com. And then, of course, you know, you can find me on Tumblr, on Twitter, also under Vanity Games. And, you know, if you hit up the website, there's also a link to my Google+, because apparently I don't have a real job. They just pay me a bunch of money to fuck around on the internet all day. So,
well, that's not a bad job. Yeah, no, you can always catch me on at Night of Oa on Twitter. You can always catch my articles and everything on geektyrant.com. Of course, I write for Game Tyrant, so always catch our daily stuff. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up here very soon. So anyway, just give us a look over there. Also, I have a Google+ page as well, and I don't have a Facebook page anymore that I really post a bunch of stuff to, but my DeviantArt I do occasionally do wallpapers and things like that, but I'll be posting those to the website soon, so you'll be seeing those. But until next week, if that is all, then we will catch y'all next week.
All right, have a great week, guys.
That is a full lid.